All right. Welcome to the Power Hour with Nina Turner. Nina, how you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Cenk. How are you?
I'm also hanging in there. I got my booster shot over the weekend. I got sick on Monday because of that. I did a test. I'm COVID free. I got my booster. My daughter's getting her first vaccine on Sunday. The whole family's going to be clear. So, you know, for progressives, the struggle continues as always.
Yes, but that's great news on the booster.
Right, but the truth forever on the scaffold. But that scaffold sways the future. So all right, let's talk about the depressing issues of the week. As you know, the infrastructure bill continues to be the story of the week, and so in this case, there's a lot to talk about because Nina and I talked last Thursday, and then on Friday is when the total collapse happened, and the Progressive Caucus minus the six Justice Democrats voted for Pelosi's version of the bill. And then now Manchin has come out and said something today, kind of making fun of progressives for caving into him. But let's take it one at a time. So Nina, they said in the beginning, hey, we're going to hold the infrastructure bill in the House until the Build Back Better bill is passed in the Senate. Then Pramila Jayapal changed it to, or Pelosi changed it, and then Jayapal agreed. Okay, we didn't mean the Senate, we meant until we pass it in the House. That's pointless, but it's also not true. It originally was the Senate, okay? All right, then they said, okay, they're gonna pass on the same day. Then they came out and said, no, never mind, they're not gonna pass on the same day. We're gonna punt it to November 15th in the House if we're lucky, and that's just in the House, it doesn't guarantee anything in the Senate at all. So before we get to Manchin's rubbing it in, well, what did you think of that vote?
You gotta have both at the same time. That really lost leverage when you allowed the moderate Dems to be able to control the fact that they didn't want the B to the third power or the Build Back Better, Lord, every time I say that, to go at the same time. The progressives did a great job of holding the line until they didn't. You know, and thank God that the squad had the consciousness of their convictions and they went all the way with this and said, look, it has to be both together. And the script could have been flipped. I mean, why not have those moderate Democrats that said that they could not support the BBB, let them force them to vote that down? You know, tell the American people that they don't deserve paid leave or to extend the child tax credits, or to make sure that elders have hearing aids and vision and dental, you know, all the things that are in that bill that would have a material impact on the lives of the American people who need it the most. But no, they did it the other way around. They said, let's get the infrastructure through. Oh, and we'll just sign a little piece of paper that says that we'll hear this bill by the 15th, at least, maybe. But now, Cenk, as you laid out, not only is Senator Manchin making fun of the progressives, there is also the CBO is saying, hey, we might not have that score ready by the deadline.
Yeah, it's total. Okay, we'll get to CBO in a second. But I don't want people to miss the really great point you just made. So Pelosi had the option to choose which order they voted in, right? So if she had put the moderates on the line and said, hey, we're gonna vote for both of the bills on the same day, and it's gonna have these provisions that some of the moderates don't like because they help the voters. They might, you know, a little bit of paid family leave is theoretically maybe in the House version of BBB, but we don't even know because it doesn't even quite exist yet. It hasn't been rolled out yet. But right. So if she had made them vote on that, well then when they vote no, when the so-called moderate Democrats vote no, then they look like the bad guys, right? But instead, when she puts the gun to the progressives' head and says, now you're gonna have to vote no on the infrastructure bill, and then isn't it implicit there, Nina, that she has totally thrown them under a bus and that she knows the Democratic leadership and all of the corporate press is going to, you know, lean on the progressives and blame them afterwards. So shouldn't progressive caucus at that point realize, oh, we're getting played. Pelosi's throwing us under the bus.
Yeah, they should have. And I don't know everything that went on behind the scenes. I mean, you don't know, I don't know. But what we do know is that the entire progressive caucus, only six of those members held strong to their word that it had to be both at the same time. You got to put the pressure on the other side, because guess what? The American people are with the progressives. And you're right. Just last week, we were pumping it up saying, look, you guys have power. You have leverage. And they really do. And they have the people. This is not you. This is not us saying that. The polling shows it. The real life experience of people shows it, that they want the provisions that have been proposed in the social safety net and climate version of the entire package. What a beautiful thing it would have been if the entire progressive caucus, or at least the majority of that caucus, had to flex their muscles like that. They yeah. started off on the right path,
Yes, agreed. And so, all right, before we get to Manchin, let's talk about the CBO that you also mentioned there. Let me give you a quote from Common Dreams here, which kind of explains. Yeah, that's because they took out-
To the say they needed a score.
Yeah, that's because they took out the provisions that would have raised corporate taxes. And the conservative Democrats asked for that to be taken out. And then they blame bills. Oh, it's okay, and you believe it's raising the deficit. But that's because of you guys. And so- Look,
I want our members though to understand this. They had no problem passing the BIF, even though the BIF, you and I are talking about the BIF right now, the bipartisan infrastructure framework is going to add to the deficit. So it really flies into the in the face of why they said they couldn't pass the bill back better. They could have, because they had no problem doing the
It's another.
Look at all these initials driving me crazy.
I agree with that too. But the point that Nina just made is indisputable. You're waiting for the CBO score. What difference does it make? You just voted yes on a bill where the CBO said we're going to add to the deficit by a lot, right? And second of all, it's so easy to flip all of these frames, right? So, but the Treasury Department, the White House, and the Joint Committee on Taxation already said it was fine, right? So if I'm a progressive and they tell me that, I say, why don't you trust the White House? The White House already said it, Treasury Department, that's Biden's Treasury Department. You don't trust Biden, right? But that's why the whole week I'm like secretly rooting for CNN to put you on. I'm like, put Sam anybody on, put a real progressive on, I'm begging you, right? So
they had me on, but I didn't get the weigh in after the vote. They definitely had me on before the vote.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, to make one other note, you said moderate Democrats, and we say that all the time, like, oh, they're not really moderates, right? Of course not. Based on the polling, they're nowhere near the center of the country. But you know, now that title has become so comical and such an obvious joke to at least younger voters, people who are paying attention, that I think that the brand moderate Democrats is a toxic brand. Like if you said to a younger voter, I'm a moderate Democrat, I think that they're generally repulsed by that because they know you're not actually moderate, that means you're a corporatist, right? So
that's right.
Have at it, Haas. You wanna call yourself a moderate Democrat, at least for younger voters, all you're doing is damage. So I don't mind that part these days. But okay, finally, speaking of corporate and moderate Democrats, Joe Manchin. So he comes out today and he says, let's pick something out of the hat, inflation. Because of inflation, I don't think we should vote on BBB at all this year. And in fact, I think we should do three giant bills before we talk about BBB. So that means, I'll be polite since you're on, but he's basically telling the House Democrats, but mainly the Progressive Caucus, you dupes. I screwed you, and you knew I was going to screw you, and you let me do it.
Yeah, because he already told us. I mean, at least as much as I despise his politics and what he stands for, at least he told he tells people where he is. So there's no ambiguity. We always knew that he didn't support it. And that's another reason why we needed both of those things to pass at the same time, because the B to the third power had not passed the Senate. It has to go back over there. That process is going to take a very long time if it happens at all. So it is a joke even throwing out the November 15th date, because in the House, if they get it through the House, they know good and daggone well that it was going over to a Senate where two of their members are not cooperating whatsoever and others are hiding behind them. So this is all a joke, Jane, and they're playing games with the American people, with their lives and their livelihoods. We know good and daggone well that none of this is going to be done before Thanksgiving. And now that Shadow President Manchin has spoken, hell, it might not happen until next year. You can bet your bottom dollar he's right.
Yep. Yeah, of course. And Joe Biden, Trust Biden campaign, how's that working out for you? I would bet, and I literally said this on Twitter about Jayapal, I would bet her any amount of money that the Senate does not pass the House version. The House version is already massively watered down, right? And there's no way the Senate passes that version. And so anything else is just kidding yourself. All right, but we are going to talk about the heroes. But before we do, I'm going to read a couple of comments, partly because I'm amused, partly because I like it. Calm Like a Bomb writes in, can we get an episode of Power Hour with Anna filling in for Cenk? Anna and Nina would be a hell of a conversation. Hey, what? What am I, chopped liver?
Okay. Chopped liver, you're not chopped liver.
Okay, no, I get it. No, Anna and Nina would be an awesome show. So we might do that one day. Thank you for the suggestion, even if it cuts me out, okay? Dragon Rose of Desire wrote in, when Nina Turner's speaking, I've gotten literal goosebumps. Her passion literally gives me shivers, the good kind. That, you know, look, Nina, we get a lot of hate, and we're going to talk about that in the Heroes of the Week segment in a second.
Oh yeah, right? We do.
But how nice is it to, in the face of all that hate we get from corporate media, et cetera, to get nice words like that every once in a while?
It's very nice, because it just reminds us that we're on the right path. And you know, everybody needs to be uplifted every now and then, even when you know in your heart of hearts that what you're fighting for, what you're standing for is right. The level of vitriol that's hurled at us on a regular basis is sometimes quite grueling. So thank you so much for your very kind words.
Yeah, and last one, Agnostic Sister said, I wish we had 1,000 Nina Turners. But I wanna, that's also very nice, but I actually wanna address something. You actually can. Okay, so here's what I mean by that. One, we can clone her, okay? Trust me, no, I'm kidding. so seriously though, if Nina were in Congress and she did the strong speeches that you know her for, and she did what is audacious and said, look, my Democratic colleagues, whether it's Manchin or Sinema or the corporate Democrats in the House, they take corporate money and they do what their, you know, the phrase she uses, what their owner donors tell them to do because they're owned by them. That would cause a giant scandal. And Nina, what would happen next is the mainstream media would blame you for everything that ever happened wrong in the world, right? And they would say you're uncivil and it's outrageous, etc. But then you'd become even more popular because everybody in the country, including the right wingers, know that those corporate donations are bribes. Everybody knows that. The only people denying that is the reporters,
which is the beneficiary. The reporters and the beneficiaries of the bribe.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So then, when you raised more money and you became more popular and you won more elections and you became the leader, well, all of a sudden everybody would copy you, and then before you know it, you'd have 1,000 Nina Turners. What do you think? Is that a good plan?
We need some stunt doubles. Yes, we do. No, it always has to be more than one.
Yeah, but when someone does something right, what people do is copy it. And so we just need one to start that revolution. Just need one.
The power of one is real. It really is, because it multiplies, a multiplier effect. And that's what you're saying. No, I really appreciate that and what you're saying. And I'm going to continue, you know, no matter what. I mean, you and I talk all the time. And I care so much about the people of this nation, and especially those who've been marginalized and forgotten and left behind. And although the B to the third power doesn't solve all of that, it certainly would get us a lot closer to where people need to be in a pandemic. This not is not even audacious. That's why I'm not even jumping up and down, because it should have been closer to the 6 trillion than even the 3.5. It's now hovering about 1.7. It's better than nothing, but it's not where people should be. And I'm tired of, I'm just sick and tired of always presenting people with better than nothing, especially at this moment in human history.
Yeah, 100%. All right, which actually brings us to the heroes of the week. Who do you have there?
Yeah, well, we have our squad. We're just rolling on. The squad members are certainly the heroes of the week. And this week, I had to pick two, because the team did such an extraordinary job of putting people in that category to choose from. And so we have the squad, the congressional members who had the courage of their convictions to vote against that infrastructure bill on the principle that the B to the third power was not there. And the miners who are striking for better wages and health care, and also to let the people they work for know that you cannot forget that as we transition to green energy, there must be a just transition. They got arrested in New York, and I am just so, so proud of them and their courage.
Okay, so I'm gonna get to the miners in a sec, because that's actually a great story and it's not getting enough press. So I'm really glad that you picked them. But let's talk about the squad for a second. So that's the six that are AOC, Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley. I think I said them all. Okay. Now what happened next, and why you I think correctly have them in the hero category, is then the world collapsed in on them. So it doesn't come at no cost when you stand up and you're courageous and you're a hero. What happens is the powerful don't like that, because you're rebelling against them. So they send their dogs to attack you. So I talked to one of the offices this week, and they were deluged with voter calls, because they heard in the media that the progressives voted no on what the voters needed. Isn't that amazing? Now, they voted no because they wanted more for the voters, but every outraged constituent thought they wanted less because of what they heard in the media.
Yeah, I talked to an office too, and it really is a shame. They are standing up for the very people that suffer the most, and yet they get the hate coming at them for actually really doing the right thing. They didn't say either or, they said both of these things must happen at the same time. It is what is necessary to lift the American people. So what they did was standing in the gap for the least of these, unlike other folks. I just want the members, please, just lift them up. Please send them a kind word. If you're on social media, send them a kind word on any of the vehicles that you use, because they need it. A lot of times when you are up against this kind of pressure, when you have the status quo coming at you, when you're getting all kinds of phone calls from people with fancy titles telling you that what you're doing is wrong and that you're standing in the way of progress, nothing could be further from the truth. They are advancing progress, and they are heroes and sheroes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then today with Manchin saying, I'm not gonna vote for it this year. I'm not gonna vote for it until we do three other bills, and I might never vote for it. It proves the squad 100% right. They said, if you vote for yes on the infrastructure bill that Manchin wants, we'll lose all leverage. The other side said, no, let's just trust Biden. Well, who was right and who was wrong? We already have our answer. It came right away. The answer is, the six Justice Democrats were clearly correct. They weren't just correct in, hey, I want more for the voters and that's why I'm doing this. They were also right about the strategy. So
that's right.
Look, there has to be accountability for the people who were wrong, but there also has to be praise for the people who were right and suffered for it and were attacked for it. So, the corporate press, they're never gonna turn around and go, oh yeah, all that stuff we said about them are bad. It turns out they were right all along. They lost all the leverage. AOC's and Jamal and Cori and all the rest of them are the best strategic minds in America. They're never gonna say that, even though it's true. So that's why you're right, Nina. At least folks need to reach out to them and say, no, don't listen to that nonsense. We got your back.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know, all of the conversation about both of these bills happening at the same time, the squad didn't make that up. They didn't decide that themselves. This is what the entire conversation about this package has been the entire time. As a matter of fact, what the squad was saying, be true to your word to everybody, the Congress and the president, be true to your word. We said we were going to pass this as a package, pass it as a package.
100%.
And now they're getting the hate? No, that's backwards. They're, it should be the other way around.
No matter what you think of the policy, it is indisputable that they're the only ones who kept their word, who said they were going to do something and then delivered on it.
And that should mean something, right? Because that's really all we have. Win, lose, or draw is your word.
Yep. All right, now let's turn to the other hero. So the miners, I want to explain this a little bit because this is, I think it's a super important story. So they came from Appalachia to New York to protest in different parts of Appalachia, West Virginia, Alabama, etc. And they blocked traffic, so it's in the middle of Manhattan. So that's a civil disobedience that they're doing. And it's good to see like big burly white men from Appalachia doing civil disobedience. So that's wonderful to see. They did it in front of the BlackRock offices because BlackRock owns 14% of the coal company that they're striking against. Okay, and BlackRock is a giant private equity company. It's the financial companies that ultimately own the smaller companies. In this case, a coal company. They did a buyout of it. Now it turns out, Nina, about 5 years ago, they made a deal to because it was in bankruptcy and they bought it out of bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. So in 2016.
So the workers basically said, all right, we'll forego a lot of our salary, compensation, etc., until we're back on our, until the company's back on its feet. Now it's back on its feet, and BlackRock's making money hand over fist, and they're pocketing billions of dollars. And then they turn around to the workers and go, oh, just kidding, we're gonna stiff you, right? Of course, what they do every time. So let me read one last part here from CNN. Nearly 1,000 miners have been on strike against a coal company in Alabama since April 1st after union members voted down a contract they say does not make up for lost income they incurred in their previous contract from 2016. And look, basically, Nina, that's again kind of an indisputable point because they're saying, well, we did keep you in business and you did wind up making billions of dollars. And now you're turning around and saying we're not going to share it with the guys who created it.
Right. They sacrificed so that this company, the company that they work for, so that there could be a mutual benefit. Now it's time to spread that mutual benefit and they don't want to do it. And so the 1,000 miners that are striking, I mean, just shout out to them, send them a lot of love too. We see this happening all over the country, Jink, where workers are standing up and saying we're hell no, we're not going to take it anymore. You see this uprising that's just bubbling up all over the country of workers standing up for their rights. And what are these miners asking for? They're asking for what basically every worker asks for. Good wages, good wages. What's wrong with that? Good wages, good health care. And in the case of the miners, as I said earlier, just making sure that the union is strong throughout as we transition. At some point in this country, there will be a transition to green energy, and there absolutely must be in any transition a just one for people who work in the mining industry.
Yeah, no, these strikes, they give you a little bit of hope because the bottom line is you got to hit them in the pocketbook, right? And
that's right.
And so, if your company's good to you, great, wonderful, then you don't have to do anything, right? But if they screwed you like this, then yeah, that's exactly what strikes are for.
Take it to them.
Yeah. And guys, the way that it works, is, especially for a giant public company, is if you hurt their stock price enough, right? Again, that implies they're public and large enough. Well, then they're going to start doing calculations. Their accountants are going to go in and go, all right, this is how much worth we lost. And by the way, their executives are going to do their own calculations about how much bonus they're going to lose when the stock price dips, right? And then they're gonna say, okay, now here's how much it costs to pay the workers more, or fairly or justly in their case, right? And then they're gonna realize, oh, the hit to the stock price is not worth it, we might as well pay them. So it's not just, hey, standing up against the machine, rah, rah. It's very strategic if done right.
That's right. And it really is a shame. Can I underscore and bold that it had to come to this? Really.
Yeah.
These people should be ashamed of themselves, but they're not.
100%. All right. I'm going to power through some more compliments of you. Okay. And then we'll go to the villain of the week. Okay. Michelle wrote in, who cares what the haters say? The members love you. So I'll take that as a we both appreciate that. On and on it goes. Shade Dragon wrote in, lots of Ninas, so much good fashion. Okay. I didn't know you were a fashion maven as well, but there's another compliment of a different sort. Isn't Addy Dragon or Anti Dragon? I don't know. I often feel forgotten and left behind. I'm so grateful for Nina and her strength. I love that one. Your strength helps them carry on. I am Sock Rodin, as usual, with a funny one. I stubbed my toe earlier today and I blamed progressives and it felt better. Blaming progressives work. That's funny. DJ says, start a thank you petition to forward to all members of the squad. I never thought of a thank you petition. That's a pretty good one.
Okay. I love that idea.
DJ, we're not kidding. All right, I'll think about that. I'll send an email. Let's see what we can do. Lou B said, hire Nina Turner as your press secretary, then step back. No joke. Now, see, if you're talking about the president, that's the only way that a press secretary for Nina would make sense. Now, then you would know, oh, Joe Biden means it. When he says he wants paid family leave and lower drug prices and $15 minimum wage, and then he hired Nina Turner as his press secretary, then I'd say, okay, then he means it. Okay.
Oh yeah, you know, you got that right.
Right. But otherwise, we're playing games here. All right, let's go to your villain of the week. Who do you have this week?
Oh my God. Lord have mercy. I mean, playing games on Twitter about, paying taxes, basically saying that, his tax game, he doesn't pay taxes on the stocks. That's what we need to change in this country. This woe is me for the wealthiest man on the face of the earth right now. It should be illegal. I mean, technically, the system should not allow people to amass the kind of wealth that Elon has mustered. But he started this Twitter poll, much is made lately of unrealized gains being a means of tax avoidance. So I propose selling 10% of my Tesla stock. Do you support this? Man, are you crazy?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, Four Center friends, I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is Force Center, a Star Wars podcast that celebrates the galaxy far, far away with a mix of deep dive analysis and comedy fun. We cover all the films, the TV shows, books, toys, and the big themes, everything from the profound lessons of hope versus fear to the absurd fun of Boba Fett's knee darts.
Myself, Joseph, and our third partner, Jennifer Landa, rely on our years of experience as writers, performers, and broadcasters to create a critical but positive Star Wars space. It's like hanging out in the cantina, but with absolutely no limbs getting cut off.
It is a podcast Obi-Wan Kenobi would feel okay letting Anakin listen to without going to the dark side.
So join us on the light side, friends. This is Force Center.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I mean, just he playing games with this. Just his whole cavalier attitude about the fact that him and so many like him pay zero in federal taxes or nearly none, less than what the average worker pays for sure, and they pay no taxes on this stock at all because income is taxed, not wealth.
So there's so many components of that that's amazing. Now, first, that's not how my taxes work. Where I go, well, should I pay him? Let me do a Twitter poll.
Right. So, I wish.
Right, Nina, you ever do a Twitter poll to see if you should pay your taxes?
No.
No,
I'm not living. You haven't lived until you can do that.
Yeah. So, which goes to show you how dysfunctional our system is. The rest of us have to pay taxes. We don't have a choice. We'll be arrested if we don't pay taxes. Just ask Wesley Snipes. That's right. Okay.
Or anything we own seized.
Yeah. But literally the richest man on earth is saying, oh, it's optional for me to pay taxes. He has over $330 billion. And he's wondering out loud, because it's so brazen, should I pay a dollar in taxes to you plebeians, to you masses, you villagers, right? He asked. And then he's surprised to find out they said yes.
Yeah.
3.5 million people.
And it should have been at a higher number, I think. I mean, I'm 57, almost 58%. Hell, I don't. Anyway. Yeah. And let us not forget, you know, how many people, hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of people died in this pandemic. And the fact that this man increased his wealth by $2.1 trillion richer since the start of the pandemic and growing. And he's not the only one. So you tell me, is this about individuals, or this is about a system that is absolutely rigged for people like him?
Yeah,
it's the system, and it's rigged.